But first, Drew Gilpin Faust. Drew Faust is the president of Harvard University, where she also works as a Lincoln Professor of History. Raised in Virginia's Shenandoah Valley, Faust has written 6 books on various aspects of Southern history and the Civil War. Her latest book, This Republic of Suffering, explores one of the most sobering aspects of the Civil War, its colossal death toll. As Drew Faust told Steve Paulson, the Civil War was so violent and so deadly that it led many Americans to rethink what it meant to be alive.
620,000 military dead, North and South, in the war represented 2% of the population of the United States at that time. So that today would be somewhere between 5 and 6 million dead. It's hard to imagine how our country would confront such a loss. It seems really unthinkable almost. So that was part of it, the scale. The second element of it was this question of not knowing what happened to people. We talk sometimes about closure, about the need to come to terms with loss. And if you don't know that the person's body was found or that someone saw them actually die, I think you remain uncertain about that fate.
So is this one reason why people were so concerned about recovering the remains of dead soldiers?
Yes. One reason, I think, was the desire to make sure that actually your loved one was dead. And there was plenty of misinformation going around. Families would get notification that a father, brother, son had been killed, and then suddenly he'd come walking up the driveway. Or the opposite. They would be assured of his safety, and then they'd learn moments later or days later that, in fact, he had been killed. So having a body meant you could be sure that the information you received was accurate.
Well, it's really interesting because one of the kind of the strange aspects of the story is the extent to which people went to try to recover the dead bodies. And, I mean, this was often in the middle of horror, of carnage, and, you know, thousands of people might die in a single day in a battle. And how do you go about trying to find those dead bodies? And for a lot of people, that was tremendously important to identify those bodies.
And the logistics were very challenging given the scale of the loss and given the fact that there were no burial details that were specifically assigned at the beginning of a battle to watch for the dead or take care of the dead. There were no graves registration units. Soldiers didn't wear dog tags or the equivalent. And often one finds in the aftermath of battles, individuals who describe being able to walk across a battlefield from end to end without ever touching the ground because the bodies lay so thick upon the field. So taking care of those bodies was not easy. They would take bayonets and heat them and turn them into hooks so that they could pull bodies along by the belts or by part of the clothing and not have to touch them. And often the scale of loss was so great that the effort to bury the dead took many days, and that means that the bodies were in various stages of putrefaction and the odor of battlefields was terrible. So there was a lot of description of quite gruesome dimensions of the aftermath of battle in the diaries and letters that I read.
Now, was there something more at stake here? I mean, was there a sense that what you did with a dead body said something about what it meant to be human?
Yes. One sees a great sense of uneasiness on the part of soldiers who found themselves mistreating dead bodies or not giving them sufficient respect. And so they sought to resist these terrible necessities and to act in humane ways, even in the most trying of circumstances, to try to wrap a fellow soldier in a blanket, even if you couldn't find a coffin or some other way of shielding that dead person's body from the earth, to say a few words of ceremony over a dead body, to put some kind of identifying feature in a grave. And I'm sure that in their minds, in no small part, was the hope that should they be killed, others would offer them that same level of respect.
Did people struggle with the whole question of how God could allow for so much carnage?
Your question, in a sense, paraphrases a statement by a Southern poet named Sidney Lanier, who asked, how did God have the heart to allow it? it was hard to explain how such evil and suffering could be consistent with a God who was involved with human lives, a God who was benevolent. And so I found numbers of individuals who wrote in diaries and letters about their difficulties in continuing the kind of religious belief they'd had at the outset of the war.
Did ideas about the afterlife change as a result of the war? I mean, was there a new kind of afterlife that was envisioned?
The focus on heaven and the nature of heaven, and a lot of writing about a different sort of heaven, which was much more like daily life in 19th century America, that made heaven seem a place where one would be reunited with lost kin. Heaven became kind of incorporated into understanding of daily life. People were just around the corner in heaven and would be retrieved in some sense. Mm.
Wasn't there a real explosion in popularity of spiritualism as well? I mean, this idea that people could contact the dead.
Yes, I found numbers of individuals either expressing explicit spiritualist beliefs or something very close to it. Mary Todd Lincoln, the wife of the president, believed in these kinds of communications and held seances at the White House.
Seances at the White House?
Yes. It's thought that Lincoln attended at least one of these, though we have no evidence that he believed in them. I'm struck by spiritualist journals in which large numbers of soldiers are reported with their words to their loved ones. I think it was one way of reassuring so many individuals who didn't know what had happened to their lost fathers, brothers, and sons that perhaps someday they might know through the medium of spiritualist communication, even if they never got a letter from the government or from any of their husband, brothers, or sons, comrades, about what had actually happened.
Do you think some of these ideas about the afterlife or about the meaning of a good death that were changed because of the Civil War experience, do you think they've come down to us today?
Yes, I do. I think that there is much that we inherited from that time, but I'm perhaps struck by more by what's different. And what I found as a result of this work was that often people didn't want to talk to me about what I was working on. They didn't want to hear about death. They didn't want to think about death. And it made me recognize something that's very much commented on in 20th and 21st century writings about how we today regard death, which is we try to hide from it. Mm-hmm. And what I found was that the assumption in the mid-19th century was that you led a better life if you kept death in your mind. Because by always understanding there was an end, you cherished the moments you had all the more, and you used them better. And yet we today do everything possible not to think about our deaths and to hope that they might be sudden, that we don't prepare for them, that they kind of sneak up on us. And so I found as I thought about death in the context of reading all these 19th century materials that I understood a bit of how that can shape your appreciation for life as you live it.
Drew Gilpin Faust is a historian and author of 6 books, including A Sacred Circle and Mothers of Invention. Her most recent book, This Republic of Suffering, Death and the American Civil War, was a Pulitzer Prize finalist and won the coveted Bancroft Prize. Drew Faust is the president of Harvard University.